Where'd you go?
All set. We're all set.
Okay, you ready to record?
Ready, set, go.
Okay. Okay, good evening, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April 20th. It's 7:04 p.m. This is the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ed Estuan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick. Dave Kopchansky. Dave Kopchansky.
Dave, you're muted.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Biskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Here.
Gino DiGiovanni.
Here.
Michael Frattatorio.
Here.
Whatever. And Dan Blisman.
Here.
Okay, item number four, additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. I do not have any this evening. Communications, I do not have any this evening. Public portion, number six, is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Please state your name and address. Anyone from the public? Anybody from the public? Don't be shy. Anybody from the public? Okay. We'll move on to approval of minutes of the February and March meeting. Approval for the February meeting. Minutes, I did send them out to everybody. I move that we approve the meetings. Is there a second? The minutes of the February meeting? Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. The March 16th, 2021 meeting, I move that we approve the minutes as taken. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Move on to the next item on our agenda. Item number eight, receipt of applications. Glam Hair and Makeup by Pauly B, 35 Fairview Terrace, special exception application, home occupation for a makeup artist business. I move that we receive this application. I think, Ryan, does this have to be a public hearing?
It is a public hearing scheduled for tonight, Mr. Chairman. We
okay,
did
thank you.
Get the notice in the paper. So
okay, got it. Shortly. Okay, that's under new business. I move that we accept the application. It'll be on the agenda for 10A for a public hearing for a new business. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay, item number 8B, Beyond Yoga Center, LLC 1, Park Avenue site plan application for a yoga center. I move that we receive the application put on the agenda for next month as a site plan application. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I'm waiting. Item number 8C. Derby Avenue LLC, 25 New Haven Avenue site plan application for a U-Haul business. Ryan, public hearing or just site plan? Site plan, right? Yeah. Site plan, I move that we receive it and put it on the agenda for next month. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to item number nine, public hearings. North Lock Holdings LLC, Dewdrop Inn, 2325 North Avenue and North Avenue, special exception application for an addition to the existing building for a bathroom and storage related to Dewdrop Inn business, a covered and raised outdoor patio and open ground level patio for Dewdrop Inn patrons. Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Were we waiting for anything, Ryan? Ryan?
Yes, sorry, Mr. Chairman, I had to...
That's okay.
I had to close the door because the kids were screaming.
That's okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there are a number of items that we had requested of the applicant, including providing a survey, providing a zoning data table, providing a topography in the vicinity of the proposed improvements. And also we had a series of discussions with the applicant about the nature of connectivity to their parking lot, off-site parking that they utilize on Park Avenue. And they did also, so they addressed those concerns. I'll let the applicant present their changes to the patio configuration and the grading, along with the changes to the crosswalk across North Avenue.
Okay, Dominic, you wanna speak?
I'll just address as Ryan said, and reviewing his report the last time, we have provided the A2 survey, we've provided the topo information, and we made, as a result of the conversations with Ryan, we made a change to the accessibility, and we included in the package a zoning chart, and in addition to that, a parking plan. Ryan, do you want to screen share, or can I screen share with the plan set? Do you have it?
I do. It might be easier if you give it a shot, Dominic. That way,
okay, I'll give it a shot. Let me see here. Okay. Can everybody see the
yes, plan? Yes, I can, Dominic.
Okay, fine. So what we did here, there was a revision to the plan. To show the topo, show the existing rock, the existing rock formation and the proposed cut. All the efforts that have been made here were to conduct excavation at a minimum. So I'm just gonna quickly run through it and then turn it over to Joe Mingolello, who can review the details. But here is the floor plan showing what is proposed, showing the addition of the toilet, the open storage and dry storage and liquor storage, the covered patio, which has three tables, plus three high tops, and then an uncovered outdoor patio that is, you know, slightly is fenced, but is not covered. And you'll notice here now, we have the crosswalk coming across from the other side. I think, and I'll let Joe or Ryan comment on it, but I think it was discovered that running the sidewalk, even in the town right away, could have result along the right side of North Avenue as you're going up. It would have potentially resulted, I think it's the east side, could have potentially resulted in some more excavation. And Joe will go into this. This is elevations, which show the existing rock cut and the proposed rock cut and show the impact of it. This is the site plan with the topos on it. And what I've done is blown it up for the purpose of viewing so that you can see the topos going from the parking lot level up to the area of the fence. The existing chain link fence is, there's no excavation, nothing beyond that chain link fence. And this shows the new sidewalk, which after discussion and determination of the best location, it was determined to also put it near the UI light pole, which has a street light in it. This is the site plan without the development showing, so that people can see more clearly the topos. The survey showing the topographic nature of the property as it exists right now, going from 30. You can see it going from 30 at the level ground up to a 45. And 48 at the fence, but 45 just below the fence. And then what we have is utilizing Google Earth and a parking chart. Now, I want you to understand that there are more than 70 spaces on this property. However, based on the configuration, I only identified the most easily available spaces. There are spaces along the what would be the northerly boundary, I guess, of the a parking lot. There are spaces that exist there, but I labeled them reserve. I'm not sure whether the client really even needs them, but they do exist there. So I just labeled them reserve. And we did incorporate into, I don't know if I can incorporate into the plan, the zoning chart, which reviews the required under the MDD zone and the proposed for each thing. And the only thing was the variance that we received for the front setback. We indicated there are three spaces, as you will see when the plan is reviewed, for the residential uses that are on the site. And there are 43 spaces required with the existing seats inside and the 36 seats outside for a total of 86 seats. So 43 are required. We have at least 70 spaces provided. So with that, I will turn and Mr. Mingolalo, Joe Mingolalo, the architect, can also instruct me as to which sheet he would like to go to.
We can start with that. We'll start with SP1 that you have there. Can we zoom in a little bit, Dom?
Yeah, I can do the closed. Whoops. Oh, that was interesting. Yeah.
Oh. All right. That's good. I mean, you did a good job. basically, you can see what we've done site plan wise. On the right side, can you pan to the left a little bit just so I can pick up the parking on the right side where we added the parking for the two apartments and one handicap space there. So we've got three spaces for the apartments, and then we have a handicap space there for the general public. Okay. Basically, the addition is everything you see crosshatch. It's a combination of some liquor storage, general storage, toilet room for anyone out in the patio area. They don't have to go back into the restaurant. And that has a covered roof over it. And then you have this area right here, which is basically open to the environment. We have two tables there. And originally, our initial design had this sidewalk here going all the way up North Avenue and then crossing at the intersection of North and Park Avenue. And we thought this is really a much better scheme, being able to come down on the south side, let's call it the south side of North Avenue, which is an existing sidewalk, come within 10 feet of that pole just south of it, and where there's a light, and cross there, and then continue the sidewalk into the restaurant and also into the patio area. We also created some landscaping here to dress it up a little bit, signage in the front elevation. I think the nice part about this, though, anybody out in the patio area, whether it's open or covered, is protected. We've got a concrete wall that surrounds the whole front of it and retaining walls along the back. So, In terms of the public safety, it's a much better scheme. So you want to go to the floor plan, Don? Now go back up one. Okay, go to A1.
Is this A1?
Yeah, that's the elevation, just the A1. All right, we're already. I think we've gone. Yeah, there you go. That's A1.
No, this is the floor plan. I have the floor plan up on my screen. Can you see it?
Yeah, I got it. That's fine. Okay.
All right.
All right. So here, this area here, okay, as I'm pointing, I got some high top tables here. We've got three tables here. This is in the covered area, stair that comes up into it, hostess station, the handicap toilet room right in this corner. There's an existing mechanical equipment space that'll be retained, open storage, some dry storage, and some liquor storage, all concealed and secure. You can take it to the elevator, and some planting right here, as we talked about. And again, this front wall is the protective wall from any traffic. You want to go ahead to the elevations quick? Okay, let me look at the front elevation. You can, there you go. Okay. Basically, it's a one-story structure. Okay, this is the closed patio, covered patio area, public access here, some signage here. This is the access. There's a little gate that gets you up a flight of stairs to the second floor apartments. Okay, and then this area right over here is the open area, no roof. Okay, basically the patio sections, there's two sections. This number one is basically an elevation looking from right at the end of the building, and you can see the amount of cut that's there. And then when you come over to elevator section two, this is the covered area of the patio right here, and this is the amount of cut there. That's rock cut there at that point. We're going to do, here's our retaining wall on the backside. If we have any debris, anything coming off the hill, at least we have a flat area here, and we may even drop the grade down a little further to keep anything from rolling to the public area. And then this is the front wall out front we talk about for the wall for safety purposes. It's a 4 foot high concrete wall. And then if you show the front elevation, we'll clad it with material that matches the existing building. Maybe some form of clapboards. There's a combination of brick and clapboards on it. And then we have probably looking at some sort of corrugated metal roof. That's pretty much it from an architectural standpoint. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just one quick question. Did the footprint change from last month?
No, it didn't. It's the same size.
Okay. Brian, any comments for the applicant?
No, we reviewed the, you know, in some detail, the sidewalk. But basically, we looked at the previous proposal, the sidewalk going up along North Avenue, and the grade very, in some cases, very abruptly rises from the edge of the pavement. So it would have very likely required additional blasting to create the sidewalk, a lot of tree cutting, and the thought process was, let's try to simplify this. It's a mid-block crossing, and it will require pedestrian signage, crosswalk signs, and that will have to be reviewed in detail by the legal traffic authority, and also get approval for the Board of Aldermen. It can be made as a condition if so desired by this board. And in general, I think they've addressed my other comments.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Any comments from any commission members? Any questions at all?
I don't, I just have a statement, Mr. Chairman. I just want to tell Jason and all the parties to be there at the dew drop that they did a great job on this. I think the plan says it all. I mean, very thoughtful, and hopefully this will get Jason going and bring some more business into the town for himself and for our city as well. I just want to tell him he did a great job.
Thanks, Gino. Anybody else? Dave, your mouth is moving, but we can't hear you. Still muted, Dave. All right, you're looking to say something, Dave, but you're not coming through.
Does he know sign language?
I don't know. He might have to sign it. Gino, he might have to sign it.
Hey, Hey, Dominic, yeah, Ryan. Dominic, can you stop your share so that way we can, I can't sure. see. Yeah. Okay, Dave, are you still trying to unmute?
He's trying. He's rattling something, but nothing's happening.
Dave, are you working through your microphone on your laptop? Shake your head. Is the volume up? The other option is to call in, Dave. Use the call-in number.
I don't know if I want to fix this, Mark.
That's a separate issue.
I like it this way. I can take a shot at Dave because he can't talk back.
Yet.
Hold on, let him figure this out. Does anybody else have any comments? Any commission members? While we're waiting for Dave to figure it out, anybody from the public, since this is a public hearing, is there anybody from the public who would like to comment on this application? Anyone from the public? Anybody from the public who is not experiencing operating difficulties? Dave, you get in? He's not in.
Could he talk on the chat?
Dave, the other option is to log out and log back in.
Or call in, which
or chat
like Barbara did.
you could be like Barbara with no technology, and you can call in.
That worked though.
Yeah, I know it works. I understand it works. That's Plan B.
Right.
Well, he disappeared.
It's better to be heard and not seen than seen and not heard.
I understand. I hope it's something good for all this weight, Dave.
Well, I hope it is too, because after the Zoom is over, we were gonna crack a bottle of Talucker Irish whiskey.
There you go. Nah, I don't know. Well, we'll give him a time. Give him a little bit.
While we're waiting, as a side note, Dominic and Barbara, what's the latest on that you've heard from the legislature, the governor's office, about potentially continuing Zoom meetings after the executive order ends?
It was just extended to May 20th. Nothing was said about anything after that date. Not just continuing Zoom meetings, but also the 90-day extension is still in place, the additional 90-day extension, and all of that good stuff. So
there's a lot of talk at the CBAP&Z section about what is going to happen when they go back, whether or not there's going to be hybrid. Frankly, there was not much support for the hybrid situation, except in members, the ability of members, to participate by Zoom. But the biggest concern is, frankly, when members participate by phone and they can't see the plans that were put up, not necessarily in public hearings, but even in situations where plans are changed due to conversation. So that's going to be interesting. That's, I don't know if they're going to continue the Zoom.
Dave.
Dave, can we hear you?
Could you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What do you have to say? Go ahead. The floor is all yours.
Okay. I wanted to go back to that cross section on the dew drop plan. And I have a question for Ryan on that. Could you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's the question, Dave?
The question is, we're going to have a slope on that rock cut there. Now, I'm not sure if I heard correctly. Are we going to put a retaining wall there? What are we going to have to protect that slope?
I think what they were talking about was that retaining wall that you see in section number two, the concrete footing in the wall that's holding back that finished grade. That's what they were referring to, I believe.
Okay, let's have Ryan try to answer this. Ryan, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Where it identifies proposed rock cut, okay? That's a pretty steep rock cut there.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, how are we going to protect that from erosion?
Are you asking me to answer?
I think that's a question for the applicant.
I'd say okay. I direct that to the applicant.
Okay.
Dominic or Joe?
Yeah, I'll respond to it. Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a rock cut, so it's very steep, as you can see. Okay, I don't know how much erosion you would get off of a rock, and any erosion you do get off of this, that's why we have this flat surface area. So anything does erode, it'll at least at that point fall into this flat, secure area before anything happens and would roll into the general public area. But that's a cut, that's just like that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So one thing I will add is that oftentimes at like the base of a rock cut, perhaps like on a highway, for example, you have a little ditch called, it's known as a Ritchie ditch. That is a sort of a catchment area for any rock particles that may fall off the slope off the rock face. That might be something to consider here. Just a little catchment area at the toe of the rock face.
Monty's not going to be having no game. There's no game tomorrow.
Yeah, can we mute our mics if we're not speaking?
Wait, do you didn't want to know if there was going to be a game tomorrow or what?
I think that was Tom Lionetti.
You know, what's the distance from the new building to the toe of that new slope? Do we have a dimension for that?
Joe, are you on?
Again, I would say these are questions for the applicant, not for us.
I'm going to ask Joe.
Joe, are you on?
No, we can't hear him.
Joe, you're muted. Joe, you're still muted.
Does that have something to do with the screen sharing?
I don't know. He's still muted. It might be.
Well, while we're waiting for Joe, I hope you'll come on. David, here's a 6-foot measurement of something. And
right.
You can, I know you shouldn't, people shouldn't be eyeballing, and here's a 10-6, this is the back wall, the retaining wall of the
covered deck
patio,
that's
probably at least 12 feet at that location, okay? The narrowest is really where the building is, not the general public, but where the building is. This is called the liquor storage end of it. And then everything gets, so at that point, that corner is somewhat tight to this cut. Okay. But the rest of it is, in terms of the general public area, I think is relatively safe. But you're right. I think we would create some sort of gully here for both water. We're going to have to drain all this. This is pretty much the backfill will be mostly gravel and drainage.
Ryan, question for you, Ryan. How much of this is governed by the blasting permit that he takes out with the fire marshal?
Rock stabilization can be addressed through the blasting permit.
Okay.
And any measures that might be needed, which could be netting. In some cases where the rock is very fragmented, might be warranted.
And that pretty much doesn't happen until you do it. And that's why you get the permit, and that's why there's an oversight.
Right. It's very difficult to determine that prior to actually viewing the rock face and taking measurements of what's exposed.
Thank you. Those are some of the questions that I kind of knew the answer. I was just asking just for clarification that in this whole process of blasting out it's happened in real time, and that's where you take out the permit with the fire marshal so they can watch for these things. And like you said, what needs to be done? Is there netting? Is there screening that needs to be done? Is there a drainage area or a catch, like you said, a catch area that needs to be done? That all happens depending on how stable or unstable the rock face is.
Right.
Okay. Right. Dave, any other questions? Now that we got you unmuted?
Yeah, going to that. Did we do a alteration on that handicap ramp?
We eliminated it after we got the topography. We were coming out. If we go to the floor plan again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sloping sidewalk that's really minimal in terms of grade. We're actually, if you can zoom in on that a little bit, Dom, that'd be great.
Floor plan, this one?
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. Bring
it up.
Yeah,
to the ramp. So,
all right, you can see where finished floor is at 20, right there, 28.8, and then we're starting at 27.2. So, I mean, we've got about 2 feet of sloping sidewalk, basically following the road. Okay, so it's pretty flat at that point in that distance, couple of feet. That's it. You can see where the curb is right here. The road is at 28.9, 29. So we've only got a few inches here of cross slope here. So it worked out really good, the finished floor in relationship to where we're leaving the covered patio and entering and working with the crosswalk and all of that. It worked out great in terms of topography.
Thanks, Joe. Dave, any other questions?
No, that's it.
Okay. Again, any other comments or questions from the public? Okay, since we've asked that a bunch of times, I move that we close the public hearing. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, public hearing's closed. Next item on the agenda, 9B, public hearing, glam hair and makeup by Paulie B, 35 Fairview Terrace, special exception application, home occupation for a makeup artist business. Is there somebody here from the applicant to address the commission at this time? Is there anyone here from the applicant to ask any questions? Anybody
here? I'm here.
Okay, yes, you want to tell us what you want to do, kind of your statement of use? I mean, we read it all, but we'd like to hear from that. We always like to hear from the applicant.
Sure. So my name is Polly Bienname. I have been doing makeup for the past 6 years. I moved from Bridgeport to Derby. So I was just asking permission to just conduct business in my house. So technically it will be just getting customers to come in my home to for some makeup applications.
Okay, will this be an open business or will this be by appointment only? How many parking spaces?
Yes, it's definitely by appointment only. I have plenty of parking space at my house. I have a very large driveway that customers can park, and I can say it will not be any disturb to my neighbors, and it's one-on-one. Each appointment is one-on-one.
Okay. since this is a public hearing, any questions from any commission members? Anybody from the commission?
Ryan, what is the required number of parking spaces for a home occupation use?
It's not very clearly defined.
I thought it's three in addition to.
That's for a professional office in a business in a professional office.
Uh-huh.
I believe. I can check that to verify.
But it's a home occupation as well. In the parking schedule.
Three spaces in addition to the residential requirement. That is correct. So I guess that goes back to the applicant. Then how many parking spaces do you have in your, how many cars can you fit in your driveway?
From front to back, I'll say five. I have two car garage that I can put my cars in. And there's two additional parking up front. And I'll say up to five.
Ryan, I have a question for you. Parking spaces, the two garage spaces count as two spaces, correct?
They do.
Okay, thank you. And this is to the applicant, this is by appointment only. Is that correct? Yes. This is not an open business where people can drive in and park in your garage. Come on in. They have to make an appointment.
No, it is by appointment only, and it's one-on-one. I do not accept any additional person doing the appointment, especially through COVID. And I was doing that prior to COVID. It's just one-on-one.
Thank you. Any questions from any commission members? Any comments?
This is for makeup, right? Cosmetology, right? Yes.
I'll ask the applicant. She's got her hand raised. Go ahead.
Yes. It's for makeup.
Gino, it's for makeup.
So if somebody was getting married or something, they would call you, set up an appointment, say 10 o'clock, they would go to your house, get their makeup done, and then on to the next client, right? Something along those lines.
Okay, so normally for weddings, I normally travel to the hotel. So weddings are never, in home or in my house. Weddings is always in the hotel. As far as clients, yes. So by appointment, and I always allow a 30-minute space between each appointment.
Yeah, that answers my question.
Thanks, Gino. Yep. Since this is a public hearing, I'll open it up to the public. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody from the public? Anybody from the public? Okay, I move that we close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Public hearing closed. Okay, new business. 10A, glam hair and makeup by Pauly B, 35 Fairview Terrace, special exception application. Home occupation for a makeup artist business, discussion and possible action. I mean, this is pretty cut and dried. It's a business from home by appointment only. She has plenty of parking, which she's answered that question already. I move that we approve the application as is. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? Ryan, you have anything to say?
Yes, just that this application as a special exception will require a filing of the approval on the land records.
Okay.
Which I can work through with the applicant and with you, sure. Mr. Kim.
Yes, please, and thank you. Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Derby, just, Mark.
Just ask one question. So it's restricted to one chair? Is that the idea? Is the record clear on
they're
that?
They're not. From what I understand from the applicant, it's not a chair. It's just by appointment. Person comes in, gets their makeup done for a specific occasion and leaves, and she gives a half an hour in between appointments. Bridal parties are not serviced at her house. She's a go-to on the bridal party. I can vouch for that because my son's getting married, so I understand what's going the situation with bridal parties. And so there wouldn't be any requirement for additional throughput or parking.
Or other people, other employees?
I'll ask the applicant. I don't believe so.
No, just me. No employees.
Okay, Marco, back on mute.
I know. Any further? I know you hate to have questions, Ted. I know.
Questions I'm okay for at the right time.
The same clause.
Oh, I thought we were still in the public portion.
No, we're not. Motion's been made and seconded. Oh. We discussed the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Congratulations. Welcome to Derby. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
City. You, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
City of Derby, Division Street, Road B, seeking a Connecticut CGS 8-24 referral for an easement for United Illuminating. Okay, is there someone here from the applicant, the City of Derby? Drew was on here. Drew, you still here?
I am here, Ted.
I think this is an air rights referral, correct?
Correct. This is for increased signalization to the Waterbury branch line. And UI needs to cross over from Division Street down Road B, which we hope to be selling very shortly. But in the meantime, they need the rights, 60-foot air rights, to be able to get the signalization down to the train line.
Okay. Pretty simple. Any questions from the commission?
I have one question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ryan.
I presume that that this has been made aware to the prospective buyer of that property?
Correct. We were actually waiting till the sale to have Attorney Thomas is on here to have him and his client work out the easement. But because there's a portion of the easement that crosses over land that we're going to maintain even after the sale, it just was cleaner to do it this way. And the Board of Aldermen have already approved it pending your positive referral.
And we are aware of it.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks, Dominic.
Thank you, Dom.
You happy, Ryan?
I just wanted everyone to
okay,
be aware.
Okay, no, we just want
I'm
to make
sure it Dominic knew about it, but I just loved it.
I'm sure he did too. Any questions from any commission members? Okay, with that, I make a motion and I move that we send a positive referral on this 824 back to the Board of Aldermen for the easement for United Illuminating for the to get across the property. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
If there's not much chicken, pick it off and give it to the dog.
Hey, Tom, go on mute. Thank you. There's no food for the dog. We don't have a softball game. Tom, I'm going to come to your house. Drew, you got your referral. I'll put it in writing.
And you're worried about my one question.
Hey, you calm down. I'll take care of you later. Don't worry about that. We didn't forget about that. All right, we'll move on to item number 11, old business. 11A, North Block Holdings, LLC and Dewdrop Inn, 2325 North Avenue, North Avenue. Special exception application for an addition to the existing building for a bathroom, a storage related to the Dewdrop Inn business, a covered raised outdoor patio, and an open ground level patio for Dewdrop Inn patrons. Discussion and possible action. Okay, I think we beat this to death. Okay, I think everybody's questions were answered.
I agree with
very
that.
Nicely by the applicant, as Gino so well put it before. Anytime we've asked for something, I think the biggest question here was the extension of the parking because of the neighbor's concern, and the applicant addressed that right away. He got that off the table, addressed it right away. So he's done everything that the city or this commission has asked, and then some. And he should be commended for that. He was very professional throughout. And I had a motion drafted that I'd like to read. This is the City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, April 20th, 2021. Application for special exception use and site plan, 2325 North Avenue, North Block Holdings, LLC, and Dewdrop Inn. Pursuant to Section 195-48 of the Derby Zoning Regulations, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission finds following the review of the plans and supporting documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the application for special exception use for outdoor seating and a site plan for the building expansion and other site improvements on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 9-4, lots 187 and 188, subject to the following conditions. One, the special exception shall not be effective until it is filed on the Derby land records in accordance with the general statutes of the state of Connecticut. The applicant's engineer shall provide a plan showing accessible ramps and signage along the north and south sides of the proposed crosswalk, subject to the review of LTA, and the crosswalk and all improvements within the city right-of-way require approval from the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. There shall be no blessing on the site unless approval is granted by Derby Fire Marshal's office. The plan shall include S&E control measures along North Avenue to include straw wattles or hay bales along North Avenue, construction entrance pad, and a silt sack within the catch basin adjacent to the existing building. The city engineer and or zoning enforcement officer shall have the authority to require additional S&E controls as conditions may warrant. Any construction activity within the North Avenue right-of-way requiring lane restrictions and traffic control measures shall be reviewed by the Derby Police Department and City Engineer. The applicant shall provide the City of Derby with a sidewalk easement for the portion of a sidewalk that extends over the right-of-way into the applicant's parcel. A written affidavit of agreement binding each participating owner and successor in interest for the life of the joint use of the restaurant off-site parking lot shall be recorded in the land records prior to the endorsement. Applicant shall furnish the city with improvement location survey of the property depicting the completed site. Handicap parking shall be in accordance with the requirements of the Connecticut Building Code. Any modifications to the above referenced drawing shall be submitted to P&Z staff for review. The building official shall not issue any building or zoning permits on the lots until the city finance director has verified that all fees have been paid in accordance with City of Derby Ordinance 85-3. The approval shall be based upon the following documents, blah, blah, blah. That's the, that is the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second it.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations. Good luck to you. Okay. What do we got next? Old business. B. ZO update and formal discussion. I do have an update. We received a note. They reviewed a bunch of people preliminarily that applied for the zoning enforcement officer's job the last couple days in City Hall. Mark Garfalo and Andrew Backuk were part of that review just to weed out who is really interested and who is not. We also, unfortunately, received an email from the town of Bethany that they no longer want to partner with the City of Derby to create a full-time zoning enforcement officer, so the job is part-time. And we know it's a part-time job in Derby. That's why we look for somebody to partner with. But if nobody wants to partner with, it's all on us. So it's a part-time position, effectively. So that's the update. Is there any questions from any commission members so far? Okay, we'll move on with item number 11C, PDD subcommittee informal discussion. That's still in subcommittee. So we'll move on to item 11D, status of detention basins informal discussion. Ryan, I know that you asked for something from the city clerk this past week about just getting the copies of whatever was on the land records for the easement and the access to all the detention basins. And you were provided that, and we're all in agreement that moving forward, we would like the CEO involved, or the new CEO that we hire involved in this whole process moving forward to getting access to inspecting all the detention basins. But it is something that I think is moving forward more so than it has over the last 10 years. I'd like to keep it going that way, and we'll keep it on our agenda for updates if you have any updates in the future for us to review, unless you have any now.
Yeah, just to expand on what you said, Ted, I've been able to pull all the easements granting the city the right of access to a number of stormwater management basins, in particular Genetti Drive, Lilac Court, Woodland Walk, Frank Gates Lane, off of General Wooster. And there was some documents pulled for the access to the detention basin off Lansbury Court. Although I'm not certain yet, I want to review a little bit more detail with Corporation Council, whether or not that grants full access to the stormwater basin, including outlet control structure and discharge, as opposed to simply the inlet structure. So there's some more homework on that one, but the rest of them, I'm very confident that we have complete rights as the city to go perform inspections and to and we'll provide recommendations. And then it'll be up to Public Works, the city, and perhaps the homeowners of those particular developments as to whether or not they want to take on the responsibility of cleaning them, or if the city does it and back charges the owners.
Okay, I'm going to throw something out just for you to consider as we're moving forward, because you seem to be doing a really good job at gathering all this data so we can move forward. I'll give you a for example. I know that a couple of months ago, or maybe even around December timeframe, that Carmen DeCenzo sent a letter out, just kind of a courtesy letter, alerting the people who own property that, hey, look, if you're in this detention basins or water course of Two Mile Brook, it's your responsibility to clean it up. Now, the question I have is, what do we do? And I want to throw it out there, with a situation like Big Lots, where Two Mile Brook runs underneath Big Lots, that's private property. There could be a backup under Big Lots, a simple visual. It's a 5-foot drainage in there that can look in there. There could be a bunch of carriages and sediment inside that are blocking and backing up water onto other private property that needs to be clean. I'd like for you to consider that in however we move forward as to what are the ramifications of that. What can the city do, on private property to do this? Can they send a letter to the owner and say, you got to check it, you got to clean it? Do they send a letter requesting the rights to do that? And then we go in and inspect it on their private property. And if there's an issue, send a follow-up letter that, hey, we found this and you have to clean it up. And if they choose to say, no, I'm not going to do it, then the city's going to clean it up and send them a bill for it. I just don't want it to stop. There's other issues just besides the detention basin along this water course area that need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Because there's an example just across the way and Lowe's, between Lowe's and the former Burger King. We had a part of this water course that sunk because there was rot in the throughput, and the owner took it upon themselves and spent a lot of money to fix that because they noticed that it was sinking, and in inspection, they noticed that the tube underneath was rotting. They dug it out, they put in a new tube, and they fixed it. But we don't know after 35 or 40 years what's underneath Big Lots. We don't know the condition of that because nobody has ever taken it to that next level, besides sending them a courtesy letter that gets ignored. So I want to know just what can the city do? And Drew, you're on here. I know Carmen couldn't make it tonight, but what can the city do, moving forward? Just, I don't need an answer. I just need consideration as to that's going to be another plan as part of this whole detention basin informal discussion. The status, it's not just the detention basin and the water courses. Those things have to be taken into consideration. That's all.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, so, Gino.
So basically, we need to know, what steps we need to take.
Yes.
So the first thing is send out the letter. The next thing is if they don't answer it, maybe send a registered letter. Then the next thing, the city will be able to go on their property and do an inspection. So we need something like that, I think, Ryan, to take and what steps we need to take.
In the area of a detention basin, like Ryan already did, he drew upon the land records as to what we're allowed and not allowed to do for our easement onto the property to inspect it. But I don't think this was taken into consideration because it was done so long ago. What do we do in this case? You're right, that you are absolutely 100% right. Then what steps can we legally take as a town to correct this issue if it's an issue? Right. And I think I'm just bringing that up now because Ryan's been spearheading this function all along.
And in this situation too, it's not visible by, looking from the surface and say, oh, well, we have vegetation that's overgrown. We can get in there and clean it up, or have the parties to be clean it up. This is something that where you either have the camera at or whatever the
absolutely
steps you need to take. So something like that is a little bit different.
Absolutely. That's why I'm bringing it to everybody's attention now.
And the short answer about what rights or what responsibility the city has to go into private property where no apparent rights exist is a question for that we can work out with legal counsel. But certainly, obviously, the soft approach that the city's taken up till now is, I guess, the first step, right? Right. Requesting for voluntary inspection and maintenance of privately held facilities. But clearly, if one of those large diameter culverts were blocked by debris or whatever, or pipes in poor condition, then that does have impact on other private property owners. It does have impact on a active watercourse. It has impact on city streets, it has impact on public safety. So that's all, of course, I totally agree with the how critical that is, Ted. In fact, that may even be more critical, frankly, than the maintenance of the stormwater basins, which are a much smaller scale stormwater structure or measure than these large diameter culverts underneath parking areas.
Right. And that's why I just wanted to address it now in public so everybody knew that, hey, there's more to this story than meets the eye. It might not be upstream. It might be downstream backing up. So I just wanted that we're aware of it. Because again, what Gino said, we can't see this. We just had, it's not like somebody can drive by and say, wow, that's a mess back there. That's got to be cleaned up. We can't do that.
And
so what rights, and it'll defer to Barbara and her group as to what rights does the city have, you know, into doing something like this.
Okay, Ted, well, why don't they just continue working on this and get back absolutely. To us next month?
Ray, absolutely. That's why I brought it to everybody's attention.
Yeah, right. Ryan, let's discuss it.
Sure.
Okay, item number 11E, Jacob's update, informal discussion. Drew, you have anything to add from last month?
Nope, still pretty much status quo, and everyone's cooperating, so that's a good thing. We're in good conversations with all parties, so that's the best thing I can tell you, and hope to bring that to a speedy resolution, as there's a lot of things hinging on the movement of that piece. So we're working on it diligently.
Okay.
And just to let the commission make the commission aware, the city has authorized my firm to prepare boundary surveys of all the properties between Main Street, the levee, the railroad track, and Factory Street, including the Jacobs parcel. So there is that work proceeding as well.
Okay. And thanks, Ryan.
Intention for doing that, amongst other reasons, but primarily to allow for potential future disposition maps where properties can be sold or put out for RFP to private developers to enhance potential development down there.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. I forgot that point. That's a very important point, but thank you.
Okay, item number 12, payment of bills. I move that we pay the two bills that I have, if deemed correct. Is there a second?
Okay.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Item number 13, motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, before we go, I just have a couple questions. While we were waiting for Dave before, I wanted to bring up about, the Zoom meetings and conferences. I know that the governor just came out May 1st, and then May 19th is going to be somewhat back to normal within reason, I guess. But I guess my question to you is, since we're going to start opening things back up, even if it's not open to the public per se in person, is there a plan for this commission to start meeting in person at City Hall and then, Zoom the meeting to the public if they wanted to come on and do Zoom, just like we are, but the committee would be meeting in person? Is there any plan for that? And if there is, when can we do it? Or
Gino, I was just in City Hall last week and I asked that question. You know, if we, like Barbara said, if we're extended through the better part of May, that means we have one more month of Zoom meetings. If it's back in person for June meeting, do we meet as a commission in person and still put out a Zoom meeting and use the monitor there and the infrastructure that we have there to have a Zoom meeting so people that are still hesitant about meeting in public can join via Zoom? The answer to your question is I don't know yet.
So
yeah, I think we'll get more information on that, but I do want to let the commission know that you have the option now. So for example, if you wanted to in May, have the commission meet in person and the public participate by Zoom, you can do that as long as you follow the COVID restriction requirements, which is basically people have to wear masks and be socially distanced.
Okay.
So some commissions have started doing that. I will say, though, I have found when you do that hybrid situation, it's harder for the public to hear and really understand what's going on because they're watching and listening to commissioners with masks on, you know.
Understood.
So but some commissions have found that they really want to get back together in person, so that's what they're doing. So that's really within the commission's discretion at this point. I have a feeling there will be some hybrid situation permitted once gathering in person is allowed, you know, once we're quote unquote back to normal, sort of. But that's not clear yet.
Well, that, I guess that was part of my
next step.
I guess that was part of my question. The city of Derby, or let's just say the Planning and Zoning Commission, doesn't, we don't have to ask the state, or the state doesn't, I guess what I'm asking is if we want to do it as a commission, we vote, or however we decide to do it, we don't have to get permission, or we don't have to ask somebody if it's okay, right? As of right now,
right.
The way I understood it is if we decide we want to do it, then we can go and do it as long as we follow the 6 feet and so forth and so on.
Correct. That's the way things stand now. And like I said, I think we'll get more guidance because the executive orders were only extended for another month until, I believe, May 20th. So I would assume shortly before May 20th that, you know, there will be new orders coming out and maybe we'll have more clarification on this hybrid situation going forward. But as I said, there are commissions doing that now. You are free to take that option if you want to.
But if the regulation, the governor's executive order as it reads now, you can't prohibit the public from coming to the meeting. If you have a hybrid meeting, you have to allow for some of the public and some of the press to come into the room as well.
Well, you have to follow all the social distancing and masking guidelines. So, you know, it would be
Gino,
limited.
I think what Barbara is saying now is that we have to make sure the room is set up for that. You know, we can't have the table and chairs the way they are now. We have to set up for a socially distant meeting up front, and we can have it on Zoom also to have a hybrid meeting. But if we have it on Zoom, people are experiencing from the public or joining from Zoom that they can't seem to hear as well as they can because right now we don't have masks because we're all socially distant. But if we're brought together in a building, we have masks, and that makes it just a little bit more difficult. So we have to clearly think this through before we move forward to the next step, I think.
Honestly, that's my personal experience. I haven't talked to anybody else about it. That's what I have found because, you know, I was in a situation a couple of months ago with in a commission meeting, and I had to join by Zoom. And so that was my experience. So I personally don't love the hybrid setup. I don't think it works as well, but not everybody agrees with me. It is an option. So I want to throw it out.
And Barbara, it is a fact that it is harder, Barbara, because I'm on meetings. I've been in these video calls all day long on Zoom and Teams video calls. And I do on occasion have meeting with a group of people that are in their office that are masked, so to speak. And that from my experience, they are much more difficult to hear on the other end.
Right.
Just from experience. So
the reason
why
I was bringing it up was because the way I understand it and the way I read it was my thoughts was by June, according to what the governor is doing, the way I heard, if I heard him correctly, by June, we won't have to wear a mask inside by June, according to his rules that are coming out for the 19th for indoor as well.
That could be.
Correct. That's why my question was, if it goes according to his plan by June, the way they're stating it now, I was asking if there was any other stipulations where we would have to, I guess by June, would we be able to go back to City Hall and have a normal meeting? Was my question.
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think that's clear.
That bridge
what
when
I
we
think
get
is
there, I
actually the more interesting question, and I think this might be what Ryan was alluding to before, is when we're allowed to go back in person, no mask, no social distancing, can Zoom still be an option, you know, so that people who, and this is besides commissioners, I'm talking about the public, because I do think one advantage with Zoom is that there's been public participation from people who would not otherwise participate, maybe because they're elderly and they're not comfortable going out at night, or, you know, if you have young children and you don't have anybody to babysit. So that's a question. You know, I'm wondering if there might be some opportunity if a municipality wants to have people participate in meetings by Zoom where you don't have the mask issue and it's not hard to hear and all that. And I, Ryan, am I right? Is that what you were kind of asking about before? If that sort might of, continue?
Sort of. And, but
we don't know the answer to that question yet, I don't believe.
Actually, my question was more, and this is, you know, starting to get on the, you know, the probably the abstract a little bit, but can a commission decide that they want to continue to hold meetings by Zoom in the same format?
It's not allowed in the statute. For everybody to be on Zoom, I don't think that is going to continue long term. I think that's only going to continue for as long as COVID restrictions are in place.
Got it.
All right, let's wait and see what happens next month, because no decisions are being made here.
Right, I agree, Ray.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, I already made that motion.
Going
are you seconding
circles.
It? Are you seconding it?
Yes, second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Nobody.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. We'll see you all next month. Thank you.